From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. Presented by AMM Collision. This is where Austin talks racing.
Do we talk now? I forgot how to do this.
It's strange, isn't it?
I tell you, man, it's been forever. Who's that? Who's that guy behind the glass? Ah, that's the crew chief. That's JR John Reichel. Give him a follow on Twitter at JS Reichel. Across the way, Showtime Bobby Chaffee. Give him a follow on Twitter at Bobby Chaffee. I'm Rodney Rodriguez at the Rodney R. The station at the Horn ATX. This is Revved Up ATX from Racetown, USA, and never more than this weekend. The United States Grand Prix happening right down the road over at Circuit of the Americas. It is the biggest. It's the biggest U.S. Grand Prix we've ever had, Bobby. I can tell you just from everything that I'm seeing that happened yesterday. And this is going to be a very heavy F1 program. And there's a lot to catch you up on. We'll get you some NASCAR stuff. But obviously, it is Formula One is right here. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. We'd love to hear from you. If you're on your way out there, if you're there, if you were there, let us know how your Friday was. If you saw, who was that? 21 Dragons? Is that who that was last night?
I think so, yeah.
But 20 or Matt, imagine. No, 21 Pilot. I don't know who the hell it was. Somebody will tell me. I just don't know that part. But Bobby, the severity of this thing, I knew it was going to be big because we missed it last year, but this thing is just blowing itself up, man.
The popularity of Formula One now is more popular than it's been in a hot minute with the way the competition on the racetrack has been. Granted, it's been your primarily Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton show for the most part, but you've got other teams that have stepped up, except for Ferrari. Ferrari still needs to step it up a little bit to rekindle
all the
Ferrari fans out there. But it's been a year of excitement on Formula One where the TV stuff has been coming through as a great product, and it looks like it's translated on the track, at least especially at Circuit of the Americas, at least for everything we saw on Friday.
I looked on Saturday or on Friday. Was not able to get out there yesterday, but the place was packed, and I think that there's a lot of factors that are going into this. And I think one of the things to really key into, because I talked yesterday with Bucky and Aaron about this, and this Netflix series has just made this. Formula One is at an all-time popularity point right now. A lot of that is the competition for the diehard Formula One fans that follow this week after week, that get up at crazy times to watch this stuff live, don't want to do the DVR, you want to watch it live from wherever they are. But the Netflix series has just taken this. I haven't caught a lot of it, but from what I have gathered, this really takes you behind the scenes, and it really has put new blood into this to where there are so many brand new fans. This is the only stop in the United States. So you have to think about all of that. They are congregating onto Austin, Texas this weekend.
And you notice it. I went out to the Outlet Mall last night to look for a Halloween costume there in San Marcos, and there was Formula One shirts everywhere. All kind of Red Bull stuff, all kind of I saw some McLaren stuff, but definitely a lot of Mercedes stuff out there. So it is not just a way for the races to be held. It is a economic-driven deal. It's an economic-driven race. Like it's creating revenue not just for Austin, but even the surrounding areas.
I stopped at a convenience store right up the road here, up 360, to get coffee on the way to the station this morning. There were two people in front of me. It was two well-put-together, well-dressed ladies wearing Red Bull attire. They go up, and the guy gave them free coffee. The guy gave them free coffee, I guess, I don't know, just because they were dressed in Formula One. There were two dudes that were dressed to the T wearing Aston Martin right behind them. He gave them free coffee. I came rolling up with my, you know, revved up polo on or whatever. He said, "You get free coffee too because you're a racing industry guy." I'm like, okay.
Sure, right?
maybe from the industrial park, but yeah, absolutely. I'll take your free coffee. But there's just such a buzz that's happening right now, and this really is, and I do think, I talked about this also yesterday, I think that the NASCAR race being here in May does not hurt, because I think you got a lot of new folks that actually made their way out there that hadn't, for whatever reason it may have been, that are actually going to give this a shot and going to go out there and brave. You better be prepared to be patient to be out there this weekend. Don't think you're going to roll up there. The race is at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Don't think you're going to leave the house at 1 o'clock and go cruise up in there. We'll give you locations of parking and where you can get parking passes and shuttles. You're not going to get parking passes. Where you're going to get your shuttle passes, we'll get you that as well on the program. But I think that the influx parks now, it's really tied together. I think it's really tied together. And being through the pandemic and being cooped up at home and not having a lot of stuff, that certainly hasn't hurt matters either.
Well, I think that you mentioned the F1 show there on Netflix. I think that it's really able to make it, you know, it's kind of like the Tiger King effect, right? When the pandemic first hit, everybody was watching Joe Exotic. And that was the greatest thing ever because there wasn't anything else to do. But that Formula One show has been on Netflix for a while. It's got a couple of seasons in it. But it takes you behind the scenes of Formula One. We're lucky enough to be behind the scenes in NASCAR, right? Because you get an insider access every time you get into the garage with a garage pass. And NASCAR is so much more accessible than Formula One. But, man, that show brings you the ins and the outs. And now I think what makes Formula One better this year is that, one, the on-track product is better, but now you've been able to see the personalities associated with the sport. You get to see the guys open up and be, for lack of better terms, be themselves.
Yeah, and that's what people want. I mean, that's what people want right now is they want to get to know these people. They want to get to know these superstars. And it doesn't hurt when you have these documentaries, these series, or whatever it is. It shows the vulnerability of people as well. I mean, the true struggles and all of that, and that's really what our society right now, because we all deal with that. We all deal with that. And I think that we can really correlate ourselves to them when we get to know these folks. And I think what it's also done at the same time is it's really brought to the forefront. It's really showcased exactly the industry and the business of this. It's not just a matter of showing up and zooming all around the world and getting out here and racing, jumping in a car and going fast. This is something that it is. It's a business and it's high pressure. And that Netflix series really is. That is the difference. I mean, you can spin it every way you want, every way you want. Because there's a lot of people, Bobby, that I've talked to that have become fans of that series that would have no idea. You know, other than hearing about Sir Lewis Hamilton, how great he's been, and all of the backstory that has come in with that, but they have no idea about any of the stuff 2 or 3 years ago. They are just totally dialed into it right now, and the proof is in the pudding because circuit, it's going to be 140,000 people there tomorrow, 120,000 there today, and it's unbelievable, but I am excited, Bobby, as we've talked about so many times, ad nauseum, according to some people, that the nice thing about the U.S. Grand Prix this year is that the real product is the racing.
Finally. It's taken a long time. Like, a lot of people go for the concerts. And don't get me wrong, these tickets are expensive because you have some really high-dollar acts that are playing this weekend, you know, there on the main stage there. And so the fact that the racing is good, it's almost the perfect mix. I think that's why the tickets have sold out and why there's going to be such a crowd. A lot of times before, people didn't care about the race. They just wanted to see the concerts. Now, the people that want to see the concerts bought the tickets for the concerts, but now the people that wanted to watch the race, they got to have an entertaining race this weekend.
And here's a great point, and this doesn't hurt at all. From the Specs text line, 337-3776, Baker's Brisket Company checking in. Great listeners. Finally, they're able to schedule without ACL or UT. And that there is, especially the UT thing, with this run that we've had of 11 o'clock games, it's really cool to see that it is. It's a showcased event right there. There's not other things going on. And I'll tell you one of the things that I'm really excited about, Bobby, is that so many of the businesses locally here in Austin that have struggled throughout this pandemic, and I mean workforce, all of that is still something that you know, getting people to go to work and so forth. I see different modes that businesses are doing to try to get people to get them to take jobs, get them to go to work, for crying out loud. Hopefully some of these businesses are going to be able to recoup just a little bit of that this weekend, because there's going to be a lot of folks coming in, and I'm really cheering for those local businesses. And I'll say it again when I'm talking about being patient. If you go to a local eatery, you go to a restaurant, you go to retail, whatever it is, be patient with those people, because there's labor issues here, and they are doing the best that they can. I've been at Pluckers for a couple of away game watch parties here with the Horn, and they're short-staffed, and they're doing a hell of a job. All of these businesses are doing all they can. So if you're going to get out there, be good to these people, because they're working their asses off to serve you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the labor shortage is everywhere, but you feel the pinch in Austin. And with all the influx of people, I think that Austin has a little bit better gauge on it, because we've had all the big crowds coming in for UT football for the last couple, you know, the first part of this season. So I think that the restaurants and some of the smaller mom-and-pop stores have been able to at least find a way to cope the best they can with the labor shortages and try to find a way to make it work. So, you know, if you're down on trying to get some eatery stuff done down there on Barton Springs or wherever the case may be, trying to get your local barbecue, you know, double check it, man. Give these guys a chance to get this good food to you, because it's going to take a minute.
Absolutely, and don't hesitate to be generous with them. I mean, because these are people that have been trying to earn a living. It's been so hard around here, but I mean, seriously, the story of the weekend is just the U.S. Grand Prix. Bobby, let me ask you something. So moving forward next year, we'll break down the race. There's lots of factors. I really want to talk about the bumps, and we'll do it here at some point, because people keep talking about the bumps, and I have my own opinions about the bumps, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but with the advent now of Miami, Miami's on this 2022 circuit. You're gonna have a course there, opposite sides of the country right there. How much of that, you know, Miami, I mean, this is not a stereotype thing at all, but yet maybe it is. Miami is the perfect spot for Formula One. I think probably better than Austin. But is this going to help us here in Austin moving forward to really cement the U.S. Grand Prix, or does it hurt us?
I think it's going to be, as crazy as it sounds, a little bit of both in the beginning. I think a lot of people, the hardcore Formula One fans, will go to both, I think. Now, there will be some that can only afford to go to one or the other. They're probably going to go to Miami because it's going to be the inaugural event. Mm-hmm. I think it can help solidify America as a Formula One hub, if you will, in North America by having two races. There's even talk of them trying to add a third U.S. race because of the fact the U.S. market and the North American market is so big, because if you really think about it, who knows when we're going back to Canada?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's three North American races now. You've got, well, I mean, if you assume that Canada would be running, you get Canada, Austin, and Mexico City. Now you throw in Miami. That's four North American races. And this market for North America between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of potential butts in the seat and a whole lot of potential revenue there with eyes on the TV and just social awareness and media awareness around Formula One.
And I truly believe that with, I mean, there's a lot of rumblings about Andretti getting involved with this. And we do. I think that an American presence, a true American, I know that there was a press conference yesterday, but a true American contending driver, I think, you know, if you had an American that was sitting there going, you know, blow for blow with Hamilton, Verstappen, you know, I think that would bring even more popularity to where people could really hang their hat on an American, you know, on a Jeff Gordon, on a something like that, that would really transform the sport. And of course, that really is one of the misnomers that people just, unless you've been in this sport for a long time, it really was the plan at one point for Jeff Gordon to go to Formula One. How would the shape of Formula One and the shape of NASCAR been drastically different had the Rainbow Warrior gone to Formula One? Imagine that.
Well, I think it's crazy. Bernie Ecclestone was on record saying that he could fund a Formula One team out of pocket based upon just the media revenue he would get by having the American market follow Jeff Gordon in Formula One.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Isn't that, it's, and you have to wonder, you know, for Jeff Gordon, I mean, granted, he's a Hall of Famer, everything that he's done. I mean, you think there's any regrets right there? I mean, looking back for him, I mean, hell, now he's going to run Hendrick Motorsports, I guess. He's doing just fine, but you have to think, and I mean, what great options, right? You know, can you imagine being a, what was he, 18, 19, 20-year-old kid? Do I go worldwide? Do I run here? And the most amazing thing, again, about Jeff Gordon is, if you know the story of Jeff Gordon, he wasn't a open-wheel pavement racer, and he sure as heck wasn't a stock car racer. He was a dirt sprint guy, and look what he did.
I think his biggest regret is bringing Jimmy Johnson on.
yeah,
I don't know if I'm missing Formula One, but bringing Jimmy Johnson on and letting Jimmy Johnson win five in a row,
yeah,
I think was a bit much for him.
Jeff Gordon might have been the first one to get to eight had he not brought Jimmy Johnson into the fray. Just good stuff right there. AMM Collision, title sponsor of Revved Up ATX right here on the Horn. Their reputation is no accident. If you're getting a fender bender or you're getting something really massive, there is only one choice for you. 17 locations around Austin and the Hill Country. It is AMM Collision. Celebrating 30 years of doing it and doing it right, just like Revved Up ATX on the Horn. They are local. They are our friends. It is ammcollision.com. Not only are they the title sponsor of Revved Up ATX, but they also present Rate the Command each and every, I won't say week, each and every Revved Up ATX program that we have here. Little different Rate the Command coming up right here. And this is actually a Formula One edition. And we'll start to flex this out a little bit. Commands get kind of hard to find because they're all getting kind of bland. But Rate the Command, we'll have cool stuff. And we'll rate this one. Here's a Formula One edition of Rate the Command presented by AMM Collision.
Talk about being here in America and also You're driving a NASCAR on Saturday and Sunday. Just put us in a good mood. Tell us why you love it here.
Well, hell. Boogity. Boogity, boogity. Well, I'm overwhelmed with excitement because it's been a long time since we've been here. Max is about to cry of laughter next to me, but by jingo, I really can't contain my excitement anymore. It's,
oh, my God.
I don't even know what the question was. I'm very happy to be back. It's been 24 long and sad months without Austin in my life, so.
There it is, Daniel Ricciardo, and I talked about it a while back. Here, give me Daniel Ricciardo just drove a NASCAR car there, like they were talking about. Give me Daniel Ricciardo in NASCAR, and you can and Formula One, you can have. I don't know, pick any of them.
Colton Herta.
Colton Herta. You take Colton Herta. You like that guy? I thought that's pretty good.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. He'd be a great fit, don't you think?
I think he'd be a polarizing fit. I think he'd be able to come through and move the needle a little bit. When Juan Pablo Montoya came in and kind of tried to do it, he was the most successful crossover guy, other than Tony Stewart that did IndyCar stuff and then went to NASCAR stuff. Dario Franchitti couldn't make it happen. And so I would think that Daniel Ricciardo, a Formula One guy in NASCAR, that'd be awesome. We know that Junior's trying to put him in an Xfinity Series car forever.
I think Daniel Ricciardo and Daniel Suarez would be pretty cool right there. Get those two together. I wouldn't mind going and having hit a pub with those two. I think that'd be some great conversation. That is Rate the Command, presented by AMM Collision. Coming up, the nuts and bolts of this U.S. Grand Prix. We'll jump in. We'll talk about these bumps. That seems to be the story that everybody's talking about. There's three different tires that these teams are going to have this weekend. We'll get you set on all of that. What to look for in the race. We also got to get some NASCAR talk. The playoffs are heating up. Are we going to get a new champion? We're going to find out here in just a couple of weeks. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. We're live, local, and digital. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
U.S. Grand Prix Texas Off Week edition of Revved Up ATX on the Horn, live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Bobby Chaffee, Rodney Ardrigas, John Reichel with you on a gorgeous Saturday as Formula One invades the capital city and just lots of discussion. How are you going to get out there? The place is sold out. The parking lots are sold out. You need to go to thecircuit.com, and that's going to be the place where you can buy your drop-and-walk shuttle pass. There are two different shuttle passes that were available. You could go to the front gate shuttle. Those are sold out. Looking at it right now at thecircuit.com. A drop-and-walk shuttle, three locations, depending where you are, where that shuttle will pick you up and then get you back. And it's pricing on that anywhere from $15 to $20 for that round trip. Three locations, Bastrop Memorial Stadium if you're way out in Bastrop County. If you're metro here, Guadalupe and 51st Street. Also, you can go to ABIA, additional fees there to park at ABIA, but they'll pick you up there and they'll go drop you off at the circuit, which is right down the road right there. But again, this is not something that you're just going to cruise on up and, you know, jump in and go, because it's a lot of humanity happening up in here right now. So just kind of keep that in mind. Additional information at thecircuit.com. Follow us on the Horn ATX, our Twitter feed. We will keep you up to date with everything happening out there this weekend. Bobby, this race right here, I kept the bumps. Keep talking about bumps. That was actually something that came up with MotoGP. And again, I think when we talk about bumps, people forget this track is not new anymore. This track, these tracks, and we see it with Texas Motor Speedway. We see it with every racetrack. These tracks begin to mature, and I love it personally, because when they start to mature, to me what that does, that adds a whole hell of a lot of character to these racetracks.
I think it does, but I think in terms of, I know
it's been too long.
We're rookies here.
It's been too long, my friend.
What happens is I think as these tracks age, like you're talking about, the bumps have an effect on the races, but it really depends on where they are located on the racetrack. If they're right in the middle of the S's coming off the hill, that's in a bad spot for bumps. That's something they need to look at doing. So depending on where bumps are at a racetrack, it can add to the flavor of it, add to the flavor of the race, or it can also take away from the race, because that would be, you don't want the whole show to be about, oh, well, the bumps did this and the bumps kept from doing this. We want it to be an asset to the racetrack, not a deterrent to the racetrack.
If you can jump on Twitter and find the footage from yesterday where Esteban Ocon was on the track there at COTA. They did a lap with him on board from the cockpit. For one thing, check out that halo. That's something that is just unbelievable and has saved lives in different open wheel racing series. Check that out, but take a look at how bumpy it is out there, and it's in different locations. And the thing about with Coda Bobby, it's so rough. It sits out here and it bakes in the sun. It just sat through a massive freeze, and I truly believe. I mean, the way that circuit is set up out there. I think that when you bring the Cup cars, the Xfinity cars, and the trucks out there, that probably added a whole different little feel. That surface had to be thinking, what is this? What is this thing running across me right now?
Yeah, with them heavy 3,400-pound stock cars. Yeah,
absolutely.
It definitely. Well, and also it goes against flooding that we get in Central Texas. As you said, the freeze probably affected it more so than what people think with the shift in the dirt, because it was, you know, ice and cold and, you know, under 20 degrees for a solid week. That had an effect. That had an effect on regular roads, much less a purpose-built racetrack.
Well, and if anybody's gone out and tried to do anything in your yard, anything where you're actually digging deep into the earth with this dirt that we have here, you've got stuff moving around down there. I mean, it's unbelievable to think of what actually happens down there. We saw it at Texas World Speedway, where that track began to fall apart, for crying out loud. But you have all of that happening. It's like, seriously, like a house foundation. I mean, like a post-tension foundation. The foundation in your house is built to flex. That racetrack is flexing, and that's what's causing the bumps. And it really is adding a lot of integrity and a lot of it puts it in the driver's hands, because the drivers are really having to maneuver and navigate around all of that stuff. And when the funny thing is, when people start talking, what I think this is actually doing for COTA is it's really giving it more, it's kind of giving it a little bit of that street course feel. It kind of looks like, you know, the old days of Detroit, where they'd come running around, the cars bouncing and doing all these different things. I think that it really is adding a lot to this whole scenario of purpose built. But yeah, now it's starting to feel like a street course.
It really is. In terms of making it more exciting for the race, that's what you have to do. Like, that's what the race itself has to become. You're not going to pop in 140,000 people and have a boring race, especially with the results from practice two yesterday, with some new faces in new places in terms of people on top of the speed chart. But it's definitely one of those aspects that, you know, we talk about it in you don't hear it as much in Formula One, because a lot of times the leader just goes and jumps out, you know, by turn one, who's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we talk about it in NASCAR, you got to fight the track, and the track becomes another element in which you have to deal with and have to face. It's now becoming the same thing with COTA here right now, because now the track becomes an extra element that teams are going to have to deal with, and it's not something that they're used to.
Yeah, and three different tires. You got the C2, the C3, and the C4. The C4 is going to be the red tire. They'll most likely start with that. They're going to qualify on that. That's the soft tire. And what that does, that soft tire is going to, with the added, what's the best way to put it, with granules, with the roughness, whatever it is that you may want to talk about on the racetrack, that soft tire, not that it's not going to be quite as reliable, but that soft tire, the red tire, is going to get chewed up a heck of a lot more, because despite the fact that the track may be a little bumpier in some areas, these guys aren't going to pull the throttle back. These guys aren't going to turn the engines down. They're not going to pull any of the boost back. They're going to get out there, and the soft tires is going to be something, because then you go to the medium, which is going to be the yellow tire, the C3. So to actually see how long the soft tires are going to be able to withstand, and how the drop-off in speed. We saw Mercedes drop off a little bit yesterday in practice two, which that's why we saw some of the changes right there. But tires are going to be an issue tomorrow.
I think so. I don't know if the COTA is as much of a cheese grater as some of the other tracks we talk about on the NASCAR circuit, the Darlingtons, and even somewhat the old-school Texas Motor Speedway races, where it just ground away at the tires. I think the soft tires become an issue because of the fact that it's going to be hot. The soft tires don't
Absolutely.
Work really well when it's hot. I mean, none of the tires work well when it's hot, but especially these soft tires. So you take the new track conditions that you have of a track surface that's aged quite a bit since the last time the Formula One teams were here. Now you throw in a soft tire. There's a lot of stuff that can happen in the entire world that can affect the race, which is really, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and not only that, with the conditions, with the heat, and I kept laughing yesterday when I was watching some of the coverage. When they kept talking about the heat. I'm like, heat? This ain't hot. This ain't hot, man.
Not comparatively,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, come on up here in July. Come on up here in July and figure out what you're going to do. But there were engine issues yesterday as well, and that was really surprising to me. I mean, Fernando Alonso gets out there. I mean, he just, I don't even think he made a lap. He sits over there and parks in that Texas flag, and that car is gushing. It is just gushing fluids. Alonso has to go. Sebastian Vettel had engine problems as well. So there's elements to this, and again, it goes back to the competition that we've talked about. We're seeing competition that we haven't seen, to where you got 4, 5, 6, 7 guys that could step up and win this race tomorrow. At the same time, now we've got where we talk about NASCAR, the car's a bulletproof, you never have any problems. You don't have tire problems very often anymore. You got them in Formula One right now.
Yeah, it's really great. It's like a reversal of the worlds here.
Absolutely.
Because of the fact all the stuff that the Americans are used to in NASCAR is now something that they're actually going to be able to correlate to Formula One, as strange as it sounds, with the changing track conditions here at COTA, and you have the tire issues. Now you've got motor issues here that you used to, you know, unless you're Joey Logano last week at TMS.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're now getting a chance to associate some of the stuff you're used to seeing in NASCAR, because there's really, we've talked about it before, there has to be an effect with that NASCAR race at COTA, because COTA sells itself. It's mm-hmm. such a beautiful facility, and it's fast, and it's wickedly entertaining. So I think there's got to be, with despite the fact there's three races to go in the NASCAR season, there's got to be an impact of that race from all the people. Plus, last weekend you saw the stuff for to get the renewal of the tickets, sure, there for the NASCAR race at COTA. But I think everything is shaping up this year for to be one of the most successful Formula One races here in a hot minute since the first couple.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because we have to talk. You know, it's been our mission, it seems like, to make Austin Racetown USA, quote unquote Racetown, whatever you want to call it. But how about the great state of Texas? I mean, when you've got NASCAR up north in Fort Worth on a weekend, and then you bring Formula One to Austin the following weekend, that's pretty dadgum impressive right there, that you're bringing the top two North American worldwide series, and you've got them right here within a 200-mile radius. I think that's something that we really need to be pretty damn proud of here in the state of Texas. That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. I'd like to see a little more local coverage for the NASCAR race. I don't know, because it seemed to be lacking just a tick. It is great to see Formula One leading the sports. Mm-hmm. That's great when you see that on almost every station. Formula One is leading as the leadoff for sports. So that's a good thing. And I think it's just a brand awareness. Formula One's been coming here for, what, 10 years?
Yep.
I think Formula One is a more established name. But, you know, it's kind of like when people call it the NASCARs. Well, you know, it's a little more complicated than NASCARs. You know, there's multiple series, multiple drivers, stuff like that. So I think when the situational awareness comes, when you're actually going to get an opportunity to have, I foresee COTA staying on the NASCAR calendar for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a beautiful facility, and as long as SMI has the say in it and they're making money at it, I think that NASCAR is going to be at COTA for a hot minute.
They've definitely found a new spot, and with the new car, the sports car, no bones about it, with the next gen car that's coming in, is definitely going to be a very next gen car friendly racetrack. And the whole thing is, I mean, so many people that we've talked about, is the response and the crowd in those elements. I mean, it'd be one thing to have this Chamber of Commerce weather that we're having this weekend and sell the place out and whatever. And that's not a slight to what's going on this weekend. But in those conditions, when people knew, I mean, you're sitting there watching the weather forecast for Sunday, and it's like 90% chance of rain, and still all of those people have showed up. That's pretty big.
I think that it's great. I think that it just shows the power of this racetrack. I think now COTA is actually being able, as a way, to try to come through and showcase itself and make it really the showcase racetrack that it is. It's one of the premier racing facilities in the country, and I think sometimes we take it for granted just because it's in the backyard in Elroy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's sitting right there. Good stuff throughout the text line right there. And yes, absolutely, golf lingo checking in there. There are things, if you're going to be out and about, I mean, if you're going to be out on the COTA grounds, or if you're wherever you are, there are people here from all over the world. I mean, this is, when we say worldwide, I don't mean Canada. I mean, there are people here from everywhere, and there, if you see something that looks like it's not right, I mean, point it out to somebody. Tell somebody something. I mean, that's just everything. That's in your daily life. I mean, if you see something, if something there's just a little bit of you, something in your stomach and your gut is telling you, you know, that just don't look on the level. You need to speak up. And there, like I said, there's going to be a lot of people traveling in here. There's going to be a lot of good folks that are coming in. And at the same time, there's going to be some bad people that are coming in here for this. There are people that are coming in here with not the intent to enjoy the U.S. Grand Prix, maybe something else. If you see something that looks just a tad bit fishy, find somebody, an authority, and let them know, hey, can you at least look into this?
Yeah, at least try to do your part, right, to find anything that's questionable. And it'll be pretty easy to see something questionable this weekend just because of the fact that some of that stuff is out there. And it's going to be easy to see. If you look at something and just see it not pass the sniff test and it smells kind of funny, like you said, if it's a little fishy, then that's definitely something that you need to try to – don't take it on by yourself because that can be dangerous. But let some of the – you know, let the appropriate people know about any issue that you see.
Yeah, when we talk about all of the people that are going to be out on the grounds of Circuit of the Americas this weekend, that's the other thing. There are going to be a lot of people that are there to protect and serve and oversee and make sure crowd control, to make sure that all of this is going. So you need to keep an eye open because there are people that are they don't care about the race. They don't care about the race. They don't care about the pomp and circumstance. They don't care about barbecue. They don't care about music. There's other things they're here for. They have their agenda. If you see that, please say something, because that's not what we want Formula One weekend to be remembered for. We want a great race and great activity. We want people to want to come back here because it's a great place to spectate. Bobby, with this race, Mercedes comes out in practice one, and they are, again, on point. This is Lewis Hamilton. This is Lewis Hamilton's place. 5 wins here. The last time we were here, it was Bottas winning in 2019. Do you think that Red Bull, Sebastian Vettel's won here, you know, Red Bull is a 4-time world champion. Do you think that this is, if Red Bull can come in here and steal the U.S. Grand Prix, if I'll say Verstappen or Perez, either one of them, and Perez was quickest in the second one, if one of these guys comes in, does that really make a statement to Mercedes of, hey, now we're here?
I think it has to. I mean, even if somebody steps up, if you get a shocker win like McLaren comes out and finds a way
goodness.
To win,
yeah.
You know, and that, I think that they're probably the next best threat to the top two of Red Bull and Mercedes. But you got to remember, Petronas has decided they're not coming back.
I know.
That's huge. Yeah, that's
huge.
Whoa,
we did that good.
That's good, right? That's a soundbite right there.
Did that in unison right there.
That's what she said. And so when you come through and say... I know, I had to throw that one in there.
That's nice.
I did it instead of you this time.
That's nice. Yeah, you beat me to it.
But if you can find somebody else that can come in and win, like a Mercedes. Mercedes looked good. They haven't always been. They have won here in the past. Lewis Hamilton has won the race here back when they had the Verizon colors and the Vodafone stuff with Jenson Button. You know, they have a chance to do quite well. And I think that if Red Bull finds a way, there's hope because Perez was fastest. Of course, Verstappen fouled out and lost the good lap that he had. But yeah. I think in terms of the overall viability of it, I think it's still going to be Red Bull versus Mercedes, and that's just the way it's going to be. I'm a McLaren fan, so I'm hoping nothing but the best for McLaren to come through and be exceptionally good this weekend just because of the fact that it's good for Formula One if more teams can contend for wins.
That really is the thing. I mean, the parity is what you want. And speaking of McLaren, I have to find it here. Did you see, I saw that Adam Stern tweeted out, oh my goodness, I'll never find it because I'm trying to look for it. Here it is. Adam Stern, Nielsen, F1 Nielsen, according to a global survey showing that McLaren is the most popular team, Max Verstappen is the most popular driver, Lewis Hamilton is third.
Wonder who's second, Ricardo, probably?
Yeah, got to be Danny Ricardo. Twitter is the most used social platform during races, and 90% feel Formula One is the pinnacle of racing. Ooh, it's going to make the NASCAR people mad.
Well, if you think about it, America is the only place where Formula One's not the most popular pinnacle port of motorsports. That, and I think Australia with the supercars, that's the only two markets in the world where Formula One races where it's not the top dog. And
that's
I think that's why, to me, 90% is a little high. I would picture it maybe 80, mm-hmm. 85, but it also depends on, I mean, there's a lot of hardcore Formula One fans. They don't get a chance to show it as much just because we don't see it as often.
Yeah, yeah. But you have it here right now, and it's going to be big. Next, we break it down just a bit more. The U.S. Grand Prix pit stop news and notes. It's going to be a NASCAR edition this week because we haven't gone this long without talking NASCAR. Pretty impressive by us, isn't it?
I know, really. Well, we've mentioned it a little bit, but hadn't got into the nuts and bolts of what happened since we've been out for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, a little bit of playoff action happening. You got guys pissed off at each other. We'll get that for you. And places for races as we count you down towards the U.S. Grand Prix. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn, live local digital streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Revved Up ATX on the Horn, U.S. Grand Prix weekend out at Circuit of the Americas. Additional information at thecircuit.com, as well as the Horn Twitter feed at the Horn ATX, as we work you up to Sunday race day. The eyes of the world, the eyes of the motorsport world, and not just the motorsport world, Bobby, is right here on Austin and on racing. And I think that's truly something that we need to be extremely proud of here in Austin, that we have the biggest race of them all. And on a Texas off weekend, as it was pointed out earlier on the Specs text line, and I think this is huge. This is really a big deal when you sit back and take it all in.
Well, consider Formula One is owned by Liberty Media, which is based in the U.S. Yeah. This is a massive race for them. This is a way for them to get people to interact and engage with the Liberty Media side. I don't think you get as much of an opportunity to do that in some of the other markets. So I think that Liberty Media, that's another reason they continue to want more U.S. presence, because you know they just know the market. The U.S. market is big, and U.S. market spends a lot of money.
Yeah, it does.
And so that's why they're so intent on trying to get a couple of more races here. I don't think you could support more than three. I think that's too many. I think the experiment with two, one here and one in Miami, I think it will go a long way to determine whether or not they'll get a third race.
And I do think that what that is also going to really bring to the forefront is, like I said, you definitely do have two different markets. I mean, you've got the Miami market, which is, you know, nothing like the Austin, Texas market. I mean, both places, I mean, great spots to go, but I think what that really does afford to do, because I think one of the successes that Circuit of the Americas and the U.S. Grand Prix has always done since the first race back in 2012 is that it affords the opportunity. There's a huge Mexican contingent that comes here from Mexico, and it allows them to make their way over, where when you go to Miami, it's going to allow different parts of the world just more accessibility and ease to get there. I mean, it's not easy to get anywhere these days, but I really do think that it opens up different windows, different parts of the country. I mean, here in Texas, I mean, I would like to know, you know, what we actually get from Arizona, what we get from Oklahoma and these states that are right near us. I think there's a good California contingent. As a matter of fact, I know there's a good California contingent that makes their way over. But then you go across the country, and I do like that with this experiment that's going to be coming up, that you do have them at different times of the year. You're going to have Miami in March, and then you'll have Austin back in October again, and I think that lays out really nicely, especially when you're talking about whether it be travel, everything that you want to do when you go to one of these events. You can't do it within, like Pocono races, it used to be a month apart. You mm-hmm. can't do that with these F1 races.
Yeah, well, I think it's better for the budget. I think that where it becomes to the Mexican contingent down there with the race going back-to-back, that hurt the U.S. Grand Prix.
It did.
It really did. The first year that they did the Mexico Grand Prix there in Mexico City, attendance was way off. It's just now starting to get back up. I think that's a budget saving for the teams to kind of run them back to back, I think it hurts both races because of the fact that you don't get the Mexican contingent to come up here, and you don't get as much of an influx going down there from the American market to go down there. So I think it becomes a balance. You want to be able to find a way to keep both sides happy, but I think it's just great for Austin that the race is going to have so many people.
Yeah, and I want to, one thing that I definitely want to point out, I got a phone call this week, I hadn't even gotten to tell you this, I got a phone call from Barbara Burns, and Barbara Burns is actually the lady that set us up with Beth Peretta that we had here, all the archives at hornfm.com. The W Series out there this weekend at Circuit of the Americas, and it is all ladies, and you're coming down to, it's going to be Jamie Chadwick and Alice Powell. They are battling for this W Series, and the W, obviously, for women. Again, here's another audience. I mean, there's a lot of, I think where this W Series is going to play in nicely is because you do have a lot of folks that are heading to Formula One for the first time because of the Netflix deal. And a lot of those are female. I mean, it's well on point that a lot of female fans, there's a lot of female fans of the NFL, probably because of fantasy football. That doesn't hurt. But I think this W Series, what that's going to do is when folks go out there, it's doubleheader weekend for them to settle the championship. What this does is when you get the female audience out there and they see a series that is all female laden, not a dude in the bunch, the W Series, when they see that, talk about a feather in the cap right there. You're really tapping in on just an audience that will support you nonstop.
I think so. It's the perfect market for them to be in. It's a way to expand.
It's been a while, man. Been a while.
The brand.
Just when you get to say expand, we'll be off another 2 months.
I know, right? Just when we finally start talking with a normal cognizant thought here. It's a great place to expand the brand, and I think that the racing supports racing to a certain extent now more than ever. So I think it's great to see the Formula Ones. That adds in future engineers, maybe potential drivers. Who knows how that's going to shake out with the performance of some of the ladies in there. You still have the stepping stones of F2 and some of that stuff that's got to be there. So it's a great way to showcase the talent, but it's also a great way to showcase that series and the joy of women being involved in motorsports.
Absolutely. Behind the wheel. That's going to be pretty cool. I love that concept. It is the W Series, and they are on track. They were on track yesterday, I believe, and they will do it again today. It is a doubleheader. The W Series. Look for it when you're out there at COTA. Got to touch on NASCAR. It's been very heavy Formula One because it's right here in our back pocket. But Bobby, the NASCAR Cup Championship, we're getting down to it. Lots of storylines right there. You've got a heated rivalry with Chase Elliott and Kevin Harvick. These two almost coming to blows a couple of times, almost taking each other out. But you've got title contenders. Everybody's still chasing Kyle Larson. We saw it for ourselves in live and living color at Texas Motor Speedway last weekend. The brilliance that is Hendrick Motorsports and Kyle Larson. This guy is on a mission. He's got a point to prove. And I'll tell you what, I don't know who's going to stop him. Maybe I don't even think they can stop themselves. There's been a couple of races where they've had mechanical problems. I at one point thought he wouldn't get to the next round, and hell, somehow they found a way to get out of that round.
And they won. I mean, especially if the Roval having to change an alternator belt that fell off in the middle of a race, because, you know, you've changed alternators before on your race cars and in your street cars. It's rough. It takes a hot minute to do that, and for them to be able to rebound and actually take all the challenge of doing that and come back and win the Roval, that was amazing.
It really is, and he is just everything is clicking for that team right now, and the resurgence of Chevrolet and just what Larson is doing. It's an impressive resume that he will cap off a 2021 with a Cup championship if he's able to pull it off. But still, you've got Denny Hamlin is sitting there, and Denny Hamlin seems to be poised to do something special. But Hamlin had problems last weekend. There were a lot of guys that are running into problems as we start getting into crunch time, and as these guys start running into gremlins on and off the racetrack, it seems like the five team doesn't. The five team just keeps going.
I mean, it wouldn't be surprising if Kyle Larson wins tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with the way that they've run on the 550 package, it wouldn't surprise me at all for them to win tomorrow. But it's going to take somebody else to step up. Penske has found a way to not be at its best on the 550 tracks, even though they performed really well at TMS, minus the engine issues for Logano. They have Martinsville circled on their calendar as the last lap to try to get in, because Penske's always been running strong there at Martinsville.
And that Martinsville race is really going to be one, I think, where you'll want to tune into that one to see the dramatics that are going to come up there, because Chase Elliott is still in this battle. Kevin Harvick, who we are talking about, his rival at the moment. Kevin Harvick is doing everything that he can. Of course, he's done a little bit on the track, but I think Kevin Harvick is doing all that he can to get into the psyche right now of Chase Elliott. I think Kevin Harvick, people keep waiting for the retaliation of Kevin Harvick again. I think what Kevin Harvick may be doing is he may be doing the old Darrell Waltrip, Richard Petty thing from 1979, where Harvick says, I'm going to beat him mentally. I'm going to make him make mistakes without putting him in the fence, without doing anything to him. I am going to lose him the championship. That may be what the closer's doing.
The best part about the quote from Kevin Harvick is he said that to Chase Elliott, that Chase Elliott needs to stop worrying about me and start worrying about how come he's not running like the five car with the same equipment out of the same shop.
And that's a very good point. That's a very good point. But I'm here to tell you, a lot of that is, Chase Elliott's a great race car driver. And we've watched him in 2021 become very, very diverse where he's gone, and he's done dirt late models, he's done, you know, midgets, he's done everything right now. But when you get into these situations where they're with this equipment, with everything, it doesn't matter what league, what series, what class, what division you're in, a lot of it, people don't want to admit it, a lot of it comes down to the loose nut behind the wheel. And that loose nut behind the wheel of that five car can drive a wheelbarrow fast.
Mm-hmm. Anything he gets in, he's winning in. So, hey, speaking of winning, we forgot to mention Bubba Wallace won a race for Michael Jordan.
That's right. That's right. What a great day that was. And to watch all of that unfold and to see, when you want to talk about, like we're talking about the vulnerability of drivers, to watch all of that chronicle out. And folks, you got to give Bubba Wallace his due. Yeah, rain short and whatever. But the drive that he made to get to the front of that pack, that was Earnhardt-esque right there.
It was good. I wouldn't put it as Earnhardt-esque, but all the drivers knew the rain was coming. So mm-hmm. that intensity picked up, and he was in the right place at the right time when that yellow flew and came through, and then it just happened. I mean, there's not going to be an asterisk by there that says the race was shortened due to rain. It's going to say that Bubba Wallace is a NASCAR Cup Series winner.
Can we say that Rick Mast tweet on here?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You have to be more politically correct with it, but it won't be as much fun if you're politically correct with it.
Yeah, we'll leave that. We'll tweet that out just in case. I saw JR was over there, put his hand down. I think he's ready to go to the dump button. But yeah big time right there for Bubba Wallace, big time for Denny Hamlin, big time for Michael Jordan. And I'm glad that came to fruition, that they're able to put that together. So, Bobby, places for races. And again, we're down to the end right here. We've got a couple of big dirt shows happening right around here, locally somewhat.
Locally, we got a big race in Waco tonight, the Fall Classic. There's a big championship night with our friends down in Edna there at Texana Raceway Park. As far as national stuff, this afternoon, 2 p.m. on Network NBC, the Xfinity Series from Kansas. Tomorrow, the Cup race is at 2 p.m. on NBCSN. Pre-race starts at 1. So today, you've got free practice 3 at 1 o'clock over at COTA, qualifying at 4, and a whole bunch of Formula One coverage tomorrow on ABC. K-View here locally. The race should start sometime around 2, but the race coverage starts at 12:30. So lots and lots of stuff. Maybe be commercial free because it's going to be the Sky Sports coverage. So,
and if you're like me and have Dish Network, you better go to Pluckers to watch that race because you ain't getting it at home. Fix this. What the hell, man?
It's still messed up over there?
Yeah, still off the air. I tweeted them both, and they're blaming each other, just like everything else. TheCircuit.com, all of your information, the U.S. Grand Prix. We'll see you the next time we see you. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. For John and Bobby, I'm Rodney. Be safe. Be well out there, friends.